You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Welcome to, I guess in what we've called in the past, we've called Mission Sunday. And this year we called it something different because we can. We've called it Focus on Missions. And it's just a look at what we're doing for our entire year in missions. On the way in, you should have got one of these. If you haven't got one, you can either grab them on the way out, or there's a pile of them up the back. You can grab one now if you want to. May I say that you're looking extremely wonderful and beautiful today, church? I'm encouraged. My wife's on the front row just like, yes, say more. Love it. So we're going to talk about our next 12 months in missions, but what we're also going to do is focus a little bit about how to be on mission. Because it's one thing to talk about missions, but how do we be on mission in our everyday life, in our families, in our workplaces? We're going to just have some real practical glance at how we can actually do that. But before we go any further, the first thing I want to do is take a moment to celebrate. On the back page of your missions booklet, it's got some information about what you did in the last 12 months, what we did as a church. And you might think to yourself, well, you know, in the past 12 months, I only gave in one missions offering and it was $1. And you might be feeling down on yourself. But see, look at what happens when a group of people band together over a 12-month period and faithfully commit to giving together. It's something significant. You might see there, it's like, well, we took in just over $18,000 just for missions, but we sent out over $28,000. Yes, we did, and we were able to do that because in the year before, you guys actually gave over and above in the year before, so we were able to send out more this year than we did in our last year together in missions. How good is that? How about a moment to celebrate what we're able to do for the kingdom? Amen? Yeah. Awesome. You know, I love the fact that we're a church that is wired for missions. We're wired for the mission of sharing Jesus and caring for people. Let me start by saying this. Giving to missions works. It works. You know, how can you say that it works? Well, in April, Pastor Naomi and Renu went over to Indonesia with the Compassion team to see on the ground the impact of giving in local communities. And for many of you, you may know, you may not know, that we've been supporting three young kids, two of them in Indonesia, for a good couple of years now. And it was amazing to hear feedback from Naomi and Renu that the guide that took them around to all the different locations and showed them what was happening in the local community was once a compassion child. Now, not just taking people around to see the different things, but accomplished. Gone to university, looking at doing further studies in university. A powerful example when someone partners to, from a young child, all the way through their education, all the way through sharing Jesus with them, now activated within their local community to do the same for other people. Giving to missions works. It's because of churches like ours who have committed to do that, because of individuals like you that have committed to do that, that this young person is now changing their world. Giving to missions works. Maybe you've got this thing in your head that giving to missions is just about feeding people who can't get food. Yes, that's one part of it, but it's so much more dynamic than just that. So much more dynamic. Before I go any further, if you've got kids here this morning and they haven't got a pack, there's packs up the back. Before we go any further, they can do some colouring in and stuff while you listen this morning. So, focusing on missions and how to be on mission. You know, it's our heart. It's our heart as a church that God will be made known personally, both locally and globally, in the hearts of all humanity. It's Jesus' heart, it's God's heart, and it's our heart. Amen? Are you with me on that this morning? It's our heart. Maybe that's something you're just trying to outwork and figure out at the moment. That's okay. Just commit to the journey of that. We're a church and who are actively committed to missions. We are actively committed to missions as a church. It's something that we're upfront with. At least once a month, we talk about it in an extended fashion, but we talk about it every week. There are many reasons why we've chosen to be active in missions and being contributors to mission. Now, there are some powerful scriptures on page 2 of your book, and some of those will be on the screen. They're in your notes on your app this morning. These scriptures capture our heart of why we partner with the kingdom. The main scripture that's going to captivate us today is this, and it's Acts 13:47. And it says this, "This will fulfill what the Lord has commanded us. I have destined you to become a beacon of light for the nations and release salvation to the ends of the earth." You know, so often we can read the scriptures and go, isn't that so good that God has destined people to be beacons of light? No, God has destined you to be a beacon of light and release salvation to the ends of the earth. God has destined you personally. What I want to do this morning is this. I want us to talk about our city. Let's talk about our city. In years gone past on Mission Sunday, we've talked about what's happening overseas. In years gone past, we've talked about the things that we're supporting. But I want to talk about our city because we believe in local and global missions. We actively support both. We've been quite upfront about that. Let's talk local today. This is our city, Greater Geelong. This is our city, the city that God has called us to. I want to share some numbers with you today. Automatically, people are like, "Zink." Did he just say numbers? I like English and history, not numbers. Anyone like numbers today? God bless you, 5 people. We're going to have an awesome morning this morning. You may have heard people say before, "Please don't focus on numbers and focus more on people." Here's the problem with just focusing on people. When we talk about people, it can make it completely intangible or impersonal. It's just people. There's just some people out there. There's just some people. Do you know the people I'm talking about? The people. You're talking about the people. I want us to focus on some numbers so we can understand who those people are. We need to make it personal. We need to make it tangible. Let's talk about the people today. You know, across our city, there are 278,929 people across the Greater Geelong region. Maybe some people actually weren't aware of that. That's how many people make up the Greater Geelong region within our boundaries of our city. Within that number of people, there are 72,747 families across that number of people. So we're talking about numbers because it represents the people of our city. You know, starting from the age bracket of 0 to 4, all the way up until the age of 70 years old, between those age bracket numbers, every 4 years, there are between 16,000 and 18,500 people representative in each of those age brackets. In your age bracket, there are somewhere between 16,000 and 18,500 people within your age bracket, within our city limits. Numbers, so that we can talk about the people. When we have a small friendship group, we kind of think, "Oh, you know, there's some people in our city." Oh yeah, there are some people in our city. And yes, there are some families in our city. Let's talk about schools for a moment. In preschool, there's over 4,000 people. In primary schools, in government school, there's over 15,000 kids. In Catholic schools, over 4,000 kids. In secondary schools, over 8,500. In secondary Catholic, over nearly 5,000. In secondary non-government, 4,500. In university or tertiary institutions, nearly 16,000 people within our city limits. They're the people. They're the people that we're talking about this morning that make up our city. In all our schools and universities, all those people, there are 64,204 people represented within those age groups. Isn't that significant? See, in that university age group, 16,000 young people represented within our city. And we're going to talk more about that a little bit later. Let's personalize it for you this morning. Let's make it just that little bit more tangible for you this morning. If you're a professional within our city limits, there are over 26,000 professionals. Technical and trades, over 18,000. Community and service workers, over 15,000. Clerical, 15,000. Managers, 14,000. Sales, 12,000. Laborers, 12,000. Machinery and operators, 7,000. Why am I talking about this? Let's make this tangible today. Within your field, where God has called you to operate as a worker or a volunteer, there are thousands of people. Maybe not in your age group, but in your field. Thousands. Hospitals, over 6,000. Supermarket, 3,000. Cafes, thank God for cafes, 3,000. Bless those workers in Jesus' name. In the education field, nearly 3,000. Other social services, nearly 3,000. There are 141,514 people who work or volunteer in the space that you're called to minister in. Is it feeling a bit tangible this morning? I hope it is. This leads us to our next area of focus today, religion. This is where it gets real for us as a church today. In the last census, 123,000 people within our city limits tick the box that says no religion. Significant. It's actually 44.1% of the people in our city limits subscribe to no faith. Tangible figures. Real people. Real people. So let's put it like this. If you're one of our 64,000 plus students in our city limits, 44% of your friends or study colleagues don't yet know Christ. Within your age bracket, starting at 0 to 4 and onwards, it's almost a given that at least 44% of your friends and family, your co-workers, the people that you work with, the people that you volunteer with, are people who have ticked the box, no faith. If you're an industry or influence within our city, 44% of those people that you interact with have either stated that they are of no faith or used to be of faith. Of the other 66% of our city, 8% subscribe to other faiths outside of Christianity. But here's the truth today. The remainder of those people, many of them are either living out a personal relationship with God, or they ticked the box because that's the box that their family ticks. Maybe you came from a family like that. You just ticked that box. Our family was Methodist, therefore we now tick uniting. Our family is Catholic, therefore we tick Catholic. They're the real people that you work with or go to school with or volunteer with in your world. What does this all mean? Lots of numbers equals lots of people. That's what it means. Lots of numbers equals lots of people. Tangible people in your world. Not people, the unknown people. These are the known people within our city limits. People that you know. People that you work with. People that you share space with throughout the week. And I'll say this today. This is our city and these are our people. This is our city and these are our people. Can you feel it stirring within me today? It's stirring within me. I pray this morning that it begins to stir within you too. I say this to breathe passion in each and every single one of us today, to breathe desire to pursue the call and command that Jesus has given to each and every single one of us. It's my desire for each and every single one of us that we're encountering God regularly. An encounter at salvation or an encounter 9 years ago was great at salvation or great 9 years ago. If your heart is not being stirred for the purpose that God has got for you, Christianity is going to get boring real, real quick. And you'll find that you have to start doing other things to make it cool or fun. Our hearts need to be stirred by the heart of God. That's where God has called us to outwork our faith from. Living passionate lives to see others find the hope and salvation in Jesus. It's my desire for each person in our city, but specifically and especially the 123,000 people that tick the box of no faith. It's my heart to see them come to belief and have an encounter with Jesus that transforms them powerfully and brings them back into relationship with God. See, what I love about local and global missions is that it causes us to live out our faith. It causes us to live out the commission that Jesus released us into. When our Christianity is about what God put in front of us, what Jesus put in front of us, it doesn't become about anything else. It just becomes about the people that God's called us to. I'll say it again, Acts 13:47. This will fulfill what the Lord has commanded us. I have destined you, not density, like that awesome movie that we all love. I have destined you to become a beacon of light for the nations and release salvation to the ends of the earth. It's a command that he's destined for each and every single one of us. If your Christianity has become about anything else, wipe it off the table and start again. That's it. That's it right there. Summed up. That's what our Christianity is meant to be all about. We do a lot of other things because of that, but that is the core reason that we're here as the church, for our city, the people of our city. Being on mission, it's our faith in action, in our words and our deeds. Not just what we say, but what we do. We can say all the right things. We can say that we're going to take our city for Jesus, but it's our actions that actually put traction to the 123,000 finding out about Jesus. Now, in your booklets this morning, you'll see that we have some new missions partners and new initiatives for this year coming. You'll notice that one of the main things that we've actually added into our booklet is this, that at a local level, that we've added in university services. We're inspired to care for our students, specifically those who are either over here internationally or those who are away from home. So they live rurally and they've actually had to move to our city. We want to make sure, and we've got some of those young people in our church here today. And I've personally been inspired that to see getting to know individuals and seeing that they're away from family, away from friends, and they need support beyond what people who are living at home need. And what I feel called for us to actually go to our city campus and actually just support people. Just love people, sit with people, have family dinners with people. And we're going to do that as a church. And there's going to be a call to action for that throughout the year. And we would love you to be involved in that. We're going to run a small group on our campus and provide transport to church. Just like I said, there's 16,000 people in that space and there's a lot of them. At least And I like to underplay figures if you know me. I don't sort of like over at least 7,000 people who haven't heard about Jesus yet or have ticked the box of no faith. Let's be honest, on a university campus, it's way more than that. But I like to underplay things. The other thing is we're putting a much more of a focus on our Gateway Stronger Communities initiative this year. We kind of introduced it midway through last year. For those of you who don't know, we have Gateway Stronger Communities Initiative registered as a public benevolent institution with deductible gift approval from the government, meaning that some of our local and global missions giving is tax deductible for you. I know that that doesn't help everybody, but for some people, I know that it will be a blessing for you. The heart of Stronger Communities is to care with Christ-like empathy for the people in our city and beyond who are in circumstances that are completely outside of their right now control, but we believe that we can actually get into that space and actually support people. You notice in your booklet there's a whole list of things that come under that banner, from victims of crime all the way through to emergency release and everything in between. I just want to encourage you. You may have heard us introduce it midway through last year and you're like, oh yeah, that's nice. It's here to stay. It's part of who we are as a church. And even this week, we had a family come into the church who have just moved into our area, are struggling to find a house, have no food, little baby, and Gateway Stronger Communities Initiative was able to give them at least a week's supply of food and baby wipes and nappies. It is active throughout the week in our church, and it's because of you. So you're wondering, does it actually touch and reach people? 100% it touches and reaches people throughout the week. We're able to put diesel into their car and a whole range of other things. So because of what you've been doing as a church. God bless you and thank you for that. Awesome. So what's the takeaway going to be for us this week? Let's talk about how to be on mission. It's great that we've talked about the things we're going to do, but let's talk about how. How are we going to be on mission? How are you going to be on mission in the space that God has called you to? First one is this: recognize and know who is around you. Recognize and know who is around you. Why did I talk about the numbers of people in the different work and volunteer spaces? Why did I talk about the people in university and education? Why did I talk about the people who make up our city? I want you to know and recognize who is around you. Your takeaway from that this morning should be this: at least 44% of the people that I come into contact with in this space don't have hope and don't have faith. Let that burn with compassion in your heart. Know and recognize who is around you. The second thing, how to be on mission, is this: know that you have been destined to be a beacon of light. Well, what can I do in my space? I'm just one person, and I'm now overwhelmed with the number of people who have ticked the box. Know that you are destined. It's not something that you're choosing to do off your own back. First of all, God destined you for it, set you apart for it, and now you're choosing to actually step into the call that he has destined you to. Don't be overwhelmed. Be excited and be empowered that you're being destined to be a beacon of light. I'll read the scripture again. Acts 13:47. This will fulfill what the Lord has commanded us. I have destined you to become a beacon of light for the nations and release salvation to the ends of the earth. You might think, oh, but we're talking about local today. This is our end of the earth. This is our end of the earth. And please don't come to me after and say, oh, you just talk, it's all about local. Why are you talking? For the last 2 years, all we've done is talked about global. This year, just today, it's a little bit of focus on local. But for every week here onwards, it's local and global. This is our end of the earth that God has called us to release salvation to. Third thing is this: be awakened and encountered by God's Spirit. How do you be on mission? You need to be awakened and encountered by God's Spirit. To stay on mission, You need to be awakened and encountered by God's Spirit. This is what it says in Colossians 2:1, 28-29. It says this: Christ is our message. We could just stop there, couldn't we? I say that for this reason. Any other message that you feel that you need to broadcast to the world to actually get them to come into a relationship with Jesus, please stop. Christ is our message. No guilt, no shame, no condemnation, no calling people out on their lifestyle. That is not our jobs. Our message is Jesus. Christ's our message. The Holy Spirit, in His great wisdom and power, is equipped to take care of the rest. Amen? Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. And this is what I will say today. When I preach on Sundays, I preach to awaken hearts and bring every person to the full understanding of truth. So you're doing that to me even as a Christian? Oh, yes. I am preaching that every week your heart will be awakened to the purpose and destiny that God has called you to. Because being awakened at salvation is one thing, but being awakened on a daily basis to what God has called you to is a whole nother thing. Life is meant to be exciting. Life's challenging, but life is also meant to be exciting. Goes on to say, it has become my inspiration and passion and ministry to labor with a tireless intensity, not in our own power, with His power flowing through me to present every believer the revelation of being His perfect one in Jesus Christ. You are chosen. You are destined. You are His perfect one in Christ Jesus. The fourth thing today, the fourth thing about being on mission, how to be on mission, support the mission with time, tithe, and talent. We talk about words, actions, and deeds, time, tithe, talent. The other way that you could frame it, if it needs to be simplified, is this: give finance, give time, and give skill. So how do I give skill? I'm an accountant. In your space, use your skill to release salvation to the ends of the earth. But I can't preach in my workplace. Your words and your actions and your deeds will speak greater than getting a milk crate and standing up in the office. I promise you that. That won't go very well. Your words, your actions, and deeds, the way that you encourage people, the way that you lift people up, the way that you support your workplace, the way that you proactively go about generating a healthy culture within your workplace, what you value within your workplace, that speaks loud, so loud. Wherever you are, whatever your space, with whatever you have, know that you're destined to be there. Know that you're destined to be a beacon of light. Know that you're destined to release salvation to that place. Know who is around you. I'll say it again. Wherever you are, whatever your space, with whatever you have, know who is around you. And know that you've been destined to be a beacon in that place. And I want to encourage you and lift you this morning. Be continually awakened and encountered by the Holy Spirit. If your last year has been a dry patch, if your last year has been a dry spell, it's time to be awakened and encountered and counseled by the Holy Spirit. It's not meant to be that way. It's not meant to be that hard of a slog. Life is difficult. But as we're continually encountered and continually awake, does that mean that some weeks are difficult? Amen. Some weeks are difficult. Does that mean that some weeks you're like, you're in church and you're like, God, I'm worshiping this morning, but all I really want to do is lie down on the floor in a ball and cry? Are some weeks like that? Yes. And then there's other weeks that are the complete opposite. It's okay. It's okay to be real. It's okay to come as you are, so that you put yourself in a place where you can be awakened and encountered by the Holy Spirit. The isolation, the withdrawing, it will separate you not just from God, but separate you from friendship. Can I encourage you this week? If you have a pattern in your life where when things get hard, it's your tendency to withdraw, can I encourage you heading into this season, from today, choose to try and change that pattern? My heart goes out to you. I understand that it's tough. I understand that there's years of pattern. But can I encourage you? You may have been a member of this church for years and years and years and years, and you've been struggling with this and you haven't told anyone because you're afraid of what people will think. In this house, no judgment, no condemnation. This is a house for you to be strengthened and walk out your journey. So when you separate yourself from God's house, eventually the friendships that you once had feel stretched and tedious also. It's what happens. Do people like you any less? No, but you're not around. They're afraid to reach out because they feel that you, the same way that you're snappy every now and then, is the same way that you're going to, you hear where I'm coming from? Choose to change the pattern. This wasn't in my message, but I don't even know. It's for someone. It's for someone. You were never called to feel disconnected from the mission. You were never called to feel disconnected from the mission. You were destined by Jesus to be at the very forefront to bring light to people who are in a dark place. Our mission, to be a beacon of light locally and globally, God has called us to be that. To release salvation to people's lives, to the ends of the earth, here, there, and everywhere. Here, there, and everywhere. Wherever it is that God has called you to tread. Just as the keys come this morning. You know, the one thing that I wanted us to do this morning is this. So you've heard about what our focus is going to be on missions, and you've got your booklet, and that's on the website as well, and you can take that away, and so you know what we're doing throughout the year and know how we're supporting, know what we're called to do. But the real thing I wanted us to take away today is this. There are real, tangible people in your world that don't just need you to do good things for them. They need you to love them with the heart and compassion that God has destined you to actually do it in. There are real people in your world that need hope, that need a beacon in their world. And let me just stop there and say this. Don't be overwhelmed by that. Jesus has called you to be a beacon, not be their pillar. Does that make sense? You cannot supply everything that they need. It's a beacon to draw them to Jesus. He is their pillar. He is their foundation. Don't be overwhelmed by that. I'm not saying go into your workplace and start codependency. I'm not saying that. I'm saying wherever God's called you to, whether it's working, volunteering, studying, whatever that is, go and be a beacon so that people can be drawn to Jesus. You can't get overwhelmed at that. You've been destined for it. You've been empowered for it. But what I want you to take away from this today is, what is God speaking to you about today? What is He breathing on in your heart today? Has there been a desire to be or do something? So you know that you're called to do something. You know you're called to be a person in the sphere of influence that you have. God's breathing on that today. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? I don't want you to leave this place with numbers in your head. I want you to leave this place with passion burning inside of you to actually do something about it, to put your hand to the tangible. Encourage and inspired and awakened in church on Sunday to actually go out and be and do who God's called you to be out in the workplace, education, volunteering, family, whatever your space is, God's called you to do great things. So for a moment, I'm just going to drop the lights a little bit, give you some space this morning. Just as the music plays like this morning, close your eyes, say, God, either what are you speaking to me about, or what do I need to do with what you've spoken to me about this morning?